State Representative Mike Calton of Nashville. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Thanks so much. Interesting topic that you'll be talking about quite a bit with your constituents is lifetime care focus on the no-fault flight fight. There is a lot of discussion about this. Some folks want to take that limit or to keep the non-limit on there about what you can receive, and some want to cap this. Tell us your perspective.
Well, basically, first of all, I want to say that my grandfather was a doctor. My father was a doctor. I'm a chiropractor. So taking care of people is in my blood. And I have concerns about this new bill that, in many cases, it won't take care of people. Now, there are people that have some very expensive injuries, usually that involve brain or spinal cord rehab, and these can take millions of dollars of care over the person's lifetime. If you cap benefits at, say, what's proposed, $500,000, the proposal is $500,000, $1 million, $5 million now. My concern is $500,000, you'll want to buy the cheaper insurance, but when you have that accident, which no one expects, that will not take care of you.
So what would happen if you had one of these cheaper insurance policies and something catastrophic happens and you need this care? What happens?
Well, basically what happens in other states, your insurance no longer covers your care, and your insurance may pay for it or may not. But even if it does, I know they're saying that if you have Medicare, that you're paying double, but Medicare doesn't cover everything that auto no-fault does. For instance, it doesn't pay for home care. And so someone that, with the present law, would be taken care of at home for their injuries might have to end up in a nursing home.
So this is a serious debate over no-fault insurance. It's a House bill that would eliminate lifetime medical coverage. And I know Democrats and Republicans are figuring out which way they're going to go and which way best how to serve their citizens. Tell me what the folks on the DNR side of the aisle are telling you.
On which side of the aisle?
On both.
Oh, it seems to me like most of the Democrats are fairly united against it. On the Republican side, people aren't really discussing the issue, and it's hard to see which way they're going. I hear some people that like the idea of the new changes, but I'm also talking to people who don't like them on the Republican side.
Well, you have the folks who are for it and say, hey, we're spending too much on this. We're paying too much. People who could have cheaper bills are paying for the cost of those who got into these accidents. It's not fair. What's your perspective on that?
Could you rephrase that? People who have cheaper bills?
Yeah. You know, for example, the folks that we've talked to, and we're going to have the opposition on the program tomorrow to talk about that. But they're saying that we're paying way too high of premiums, that we're getting gouged because of this.
Yeah, our premiums, from what has been shown to me by the Insurance Institute, are 11th highest in the country. Overall, for collision and for your medical, and medical is 16th in the country, but we have the best, by far the best benefit in the country. So I am thrilled to pay, it's under $150 a year for that level of coverage. It's a really good buy.
Kevin Clinton, who is the Michigan Insurance Commissioner, says that the uncertainty inherent in estimating unlimited personal injury protection makes the current situation unsustainable for the long run. We won't be able to afford it, and it's going to place a significant financial burden on the citizens. How would you respond to that?
It's kind of interesting the way different people phrase things. The way I see it, if someone no longer has coverage, they exceed their $500,000, essentially, many of them will end up on Medicaid after they spend down everything they own lose everything they've saved for. They'll end up on Medicaid, and then we'll end up paying for that. So it's interesting the way that's turned around.
Yeah, the Insurance Institute of Michigan reports that more than 99% of claims fall under $250,000. And this group is saying that it's easy for medical providers to take advantage of Michigan's sweeping pledge of unlimited medical coverage.
Well, definitely where there's insurance coverage, I'm not sure if I'd use the term medical providers taking advantage of. Definitely when you have coverage for brain trauma and spinal trauma care, then you attract that industry, the doctors, the special kind of care people to your state. So I'm not sure if I'd use the term taking advantage of, but I definitely would say when the care is available, it's used.
We're talking with State Representative Mike Colton from Nashville. Representative, from what you know of this bill, would this only affect future cases? Anything that's happened in the past would still be covered?
No, I actually brought in the person who actually did the write-up of the bill because I was trying to hash something out. Will this affect people who already have had their accident? And it will. There are certain provisions within it. Even if you've had your accident, although you'll still receive, you know, the high limit of care, there have been limits that have been put, that would be put on. For instance, you may be limited to 58 hours a week of in-home care under this bill. And in many cases, that's just not enough. I've taken care of people who've had spinal cord injuries, and some of these people need 24-hour care, and 58 hours a week just is not enough. Also, there will be the fee schedule limits that have been proposed would apply to people who've already had their accidents.
All right. The bill is under discussion by the full chamber after passing out of the House of Insurance Committee on October 13th. When are we going to know? When is it going to be voted on?
Well, it's interesting. That's a question that I've been hearing. And so far, you know, I'm new. I'm a rookie in the legislature. And one thing I've learned is it will be voted on when it appears the votes are there.
Indeed.
So I do not see it on the immediate calendar, which means to me that, you know, maybe there's more discussion needs to be had. But I'm sure that if the votes are there, you'll see it probably in the next couple of weeks.
What's your perspective on the bridge? Do we need a bridge from Detroit to Windsor?
Oh, that's a good question. I've listened to the pros and cons, and it was interesting that it didn't make it out of the Senate committee. I've spent a lot of time in my past going back and forth over that bridge, and there is a big problem where when you get to the other side, you have to go through, you know, that neighborhood. I think they say it's 7 miles to the Queens Highway 401. And it would be really great to have a expressway to bridge to expressway link up like you see at other bridges. But on the flip side, just want to make sure that this doesn't end up costing Michigan taxpayers a lot of money, because right now there is not, the bridge is not at capacity, the one that's there. Although I do have to admit that in the future, you do have to plan for future capacity.
All right, State Representative Mike Colton is from Nashville. Thanks so much for your time, sir. Appreciate you.
Sure.